Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast with me, Robin, and my good friends, Martin and Alex. Hello, 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 gentlemen. Today we shall be discussing cute animals that could kill you. We shall be revealing the horrific truth behind some of the world's cutest little scrumptious things that you just want to snuggle up, and then they get their fangs in your neck and they start eating you from the inside, because they get inside you, obviously. But before we do that, we shall be responding to your comments, and I believe Alex will have a riddle for us. But before I...
Oh, I've got a riddle for you today, Robin, yes.
I'm so happy to hear that. But how are you both? How are you doing? Mr. Martin, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm very well. Today it was freezing cold here in the UK. It was very cold. I got up and I checked my phone, as of course everyone does when they get up, don't they? 1 degree.
What?
1 degree what? Celsius. It was 1 degree, Ram. 1 degree. And I was like, this can't be right. So I asked my wife. She said, yeah, 1 degree. So it was 1 degree this morning, which was very cool.
It wasn't like that in Scotland.
Really? Tropical?
Well, no, but I stayed in for most of the day, so I don't know. Can't be going outside. There's terrifying cute creatures that want to kill me, Martin. I can't go outside. I can't leave the house.
So that wild haggis, they swarm you and they devour you.
Yeah.
Other than the chilliest in the air, it's been all right. Negated by the fact that I've got just installed a fire. Wood burner thing. So put that on, nice and warm. So
nice.
Gated.
Very nice.
Yeah, perfect.
Prepping
timing.
For the end of the world.
Exactly. That's what you gotta do. Lovely. That's what you gotta do. How about you, Alex?
I'm good, yeah. No, all good this week. No major updates from me, really. Wasn't that bad in Scotland today. It wasn't 1 degrees. That's taken me by surprise. Yeah, but it did certainly feel like the first wintry chill of winter. I don't know what happened to autumn. Autumn's left. It's already winter.
There are still some leaves on the trees.
Are you both excited for Halloween? Do you have any big Halloween plans or Halloween costumes?
I haven't got a costume yet, but around me, wherever I've lived before, where I live now, Halloween's been kind of in the background, right? Maybe you get a kid or two come around, you're like, piss off, you know. But this time, this place I'm living now is actually insane. Like, everyone does it.
Wow.
Last year, I'm not joking.
That's great.
We took Clara around, and it's all under very civilized, right? You know, there's messages saying, you know, you only go to people's houses if they have, you know, decorations up. And I think everyone abides by that. So there aren't many little old ladies getting scared, which is good. But hundreds and hundreds of kids out. I'm not joking, hundreds.
Wow.
It's
crazy.
That's lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. So you've got to stock up on the sweets.
We had three tubs last time, all gone.
Lest your house be egged.
Yeah.
Do you stock up on the razor blades and syringes too?
Oh, yes, of course. Of course, and the water balloons out the window. It's actually like quite a big thing for the place I'm in, town, village. So nice. It'll be good.
That's interesting.
I think Halloween's like kind of underrated. I like Halloween as a spooky season. I think it's probably like one of my favorite times of year.
I'm nuts about Halloween.
Getting cooler.
I bloody love Halloween. I'm excited. I love this time of year. Autumn's my favorite. In the past week, we've suddenly turned into autumn. We've gone from being a very long but coolish summer towards the end, and then suddenly leaves are brown, leaves are falling off, and there's a chill in the air. And you can smell, I can smell my neighbor's wood fires as well, like some lovely scent on the air. And it's just, nice autumnal feelings, and I get into a certain kind of mood, and you know, like, oh, it's all Halloween-y.
But then your neighbour ruins it when he asks you to leave.
It's true.
Can you please get out of my house, Robin?
I don't have any plans, though, because I'm afraid I'm not a fan of trick-or-treating. I think it's an Americanism too far for me. However, I am excited for our Halloween live quiz special that we've got planned. On the YouTube channel of Just Interesting. Please do tune in for that live Halloween special. We'll announce it ahead of time. Don't worry. We'll put a comment in the community tab on the YouTube and on our Twitter feed so you know exactly when it's happening. Worry not. I won't commit to a time and date right now, because we never know. But if I may go off on a slight tangent, you've reminded me, Alex. You know what really got my gills up this year?
Oh, go on.
Beginning of September. September the 4th, I believe. I walk into a shop.
Oh, no.
Okay. Oh, no.
There's a stand.
No, you didn't.
There's a stand and it's full of Christmas crackers.
Outrageous.
Tell me they were 2022. Tell me they were 2022.
No, they were 2023. And then not long after, the same shop had its mulled wine up on the shelves. I'm like, it's not even...
Wow.
It's bad enough that it comes out before Halloween, but that is way too early. That is way too early.
It was really quite warm then too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was still like,
20 degrees, mid-20s in some part of September.
Yeah, just absolutely shocking, shocking behaviour.
Would you like me to distract you or take your minds off of it with a lovely riddle?
Oh, go on.
Yes, please. I think it's needed.
Okay, here's the riddle. Riddle me this.
Okay.
My first is in chocolate, but not in ham. My second's in cake and also in jam. My third at tea time is easily found. My whole is a friend who's often around. What am I? Would you like me to say it again?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
My first is in chocolate, but not in ham. My second's in cake and also in jam. My third at tea time is easily found. My whole is a friend who's often around. What am I?
Okay.
Any guesses, or would you like to let that sit with you for a little while?
That very last line sounds like a donut, but I don't know how it relates to the rest of it.
my first is in chocolate, but not in... Ham.
First in chocolate, not in ham. Second's in cake and also in jam. My third at tea time is easily found. My whole is a friend who's often around. What am I?
No.
I'll tell you right now, my whole, it's not spelt like donut hole. It's not a hole like a hole in the ground. It's W-H-O-L-E. I'll let you guys mull that one over.
Maybe it's diabetes.
But in the meantime...
Is that the answer?
Damn it, you've got it, Robin. You've got it in one. I shall reveal the answer to the riddle at the end of the episode.
First is in chocolate, but not in ham. My
second is cake and also in jam. What's going on? This is the podcast now. We're just
riffing. Oh, just slow jazz riffs. That's all we are.
I tell you what, let's have a jazz riff rendition, Robin, if you'd like, of some very special people that we'd like to say a particular thank you to.
Oh, yes, please. We would love to say...
Come on, so
No.
I'll lay down a beat for you, Robin. Who do you want to thank?
I would love to thank James.
My first is...
James and Rashad Najjar and Caleb Wilkerson and Kurt Jones and John Baker and Henny Ruffle and the Super Show podcast and Nicholas Dill and Emmett Tapia and Ahmad and Piers Ward and Josh Tromatek and A Filthy Casual and Simon Workman. Wonderful people. Just the tip of the iceberg of Patreon supporters and YouTube members who keep this channel going, and all wonderful, wonderful people. But a special thanks to those who just named. Thank you so much.
Thank you, one and all.
Thank you.
And if you did want to support us on Patreon, then I believe the last episode that we recorded, as of this recording,
it was a biggie.
It was a biggie. We gave our thoughts on the recent resolution to the everlasting mystery that was who killed Tupac Shakur, which is obviously a video topic that is kind of dear to our hearts. We spoke about that on the channel that must not be named. So it was kind of good. It was good to get some closure on that, I think. But and we kind of give our thoughts on it upon years of reflection on that topic. So that was quite a good one, I thought. But anyway, that is what we discussed over on Patreon. If you'd like to check it out, feel free. And you can watch that along with over 130 episodes of A Little More Interesting, if you just can't get enough of us. But before we jump into the main topic, did we have any comments that we wanted to raise from the past week?
Yes.
Any good ones, you guys?
Absolutely.
Any good ones?
Well, I've got one from Andrew Winchester 895, who's one of our wonderful YouTube members. who commented on strange cases that might prove reincarnation, which is, I think, two podcast episodes ago. And sadly, Andrew, I'm bringing this up partly because I can't remember the context that may have prompted you to comment this, because you commented, you can break a record, i.e. a world record. And 100%, you're correct. But I don't know what we said in the podcast to prompt you to say that. So context, please provide if you...
Was it something literal, like a record, like a CD record or something? Like, are we just like not... I don't know. What were we talking about?
I'm sure it wasn't in the riddle. Would it be in the riddle?
I can't remember.
That would make sense. It was like sometimes in the riddle, there's often bits that you... Oh, I know, but you can do it. You know, there's, you know...
Oh, maybe it was the riddle. Maybe it was that.
It must have been the riddle.
Yeah.
Sure. Andrew, you're going to have to help us out here. This is basically what you've done, Robin, is you've highlighted just how little we remember. This is two podcasts ago.
We've gone already.
My comment's from Emily Hickson. And Emily says, me and my boyfriend listen to your podcast every night.
Whoa.
Now that we are long distance, we choose one to both listen to just to make us feel a little bit more connected. So thank you for such a good podcast. Well,
thank you, Emily.
That's very kind, Emily. But one every night, you're going to run out pretty soon. We need to start recording daily podcasts in that case.
We do. We've only got...
That's very, very sweet.
Yeah, it's episode 137. That's really nice, yeah. That's wonderful. I hope that's nice to know that we can bring people together in that way.
It's always interesting finding out like how and when people listen to the podcasts. But yeah, no, that's a really nice story. Yeah. Nice. I have a comment from Simon Lane 2189, and I found this quite amusing. So this was in last week's episode, the week before last episode, where we discussed the aliens in Mexico, the Mexican aliens, and that whole situation. And that was about the man who revealed, basically the man that came forward with these alien corpses. He was known for like previous alien hoaxes. And Simon Lane commented saying, you do know the man who revealed these is a serial hoaxer and has done stuff like this many, many times. And Thomas Ramsey replied to this commenter saying, didn't they mention that? And then Simon Lane replied, don't know, stopped watching this video after they started talking about it. So I just thought that's funny. We brought it. It was quite a large part of the discussion, Simon. But never mind. fair enough. It's a long video to get through. I don't blame you for not watching, but yeah.
I'm sorry if that topic didn't push your
buttons. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. We brought it up. Anyways, fellas, would you like to discuss the main topic, which is cute animals that are deadly? So what I love about this topic is that with all the horrible news in the world, we found another thing that we can ruin for our audience, and that is cute animals. Like, people are just like getting off of work, they've had a rough day, and here we are telling them why really cute animals that they love are actually dangerous, horrible, murdering
little
psychopaths.
Bastard. Yeah.
So here we go. Who wanted to go first here? Which cuddly, cute creature did we want to destroy the reputation of?
Well, I don't mind going first.
Take us away, Martin.
I mean, the reason being that I'm sure that a lot of our listeners will have seen these animals, but we don't get them in the UK. So that's the precursor here. So you might go, well, hold on a second. They're not particularly cuddly or cute, but from a UK perspective, a UK-centric perspective, you know, I think they're cute. And that is the fairly humble raccoon.
Oh,
the raccoons. Silly little trash pandas. I love them. Yeah.
Yeah. Any initial thoughts on raccoons? What do you think of when you think of raccoons? Anything
They are genuinely one of my favourite animals. I love raccoons. They're so silly. Okay. Little nature's bandit. They've got like little tiny hands. Yeah.
I'll have you know that one of the facts I've got about raccoons is raccoons are highly intelligent animals. They're known for their problem-solving abilities and can open containers, doors, and even figure out complex latches. So silly in looks, maybe, but
what makes
them intelligent nonetheless.
Makes them a real threat, doesn't it? You know what I think of when anyone mentions raccoons is the 1980s, I think, Canadian cartoon show called Raccoons with a great theme tune.
Oh, yeah.
Great theme tune.
Yeah. I've got an image in my head of what that looks like.
Yeah.
Never seen it, but yeah.
What makes you think of that?
Because it's called Raccoons. And
yeah. I know.
I wonder why.
So a few bits about raccoons. So they don't live for very long.
Oh.
In the wild, they live for only 2 or 3 years. However, in captivity, they can live to up to 20 years. They communicate through a variety of vocalizations, including purring, growling, and hissing. A little bit more on the latter. And they also use body language as well. So they posture up into tall positions to convey info to other raccoons.
I've seen some great GIFs of them just like standing up, making themselves look big. Yeah.
Exactly. So raccoons are found in various different countries, including, but not limited to, North America, Japan, and parts of Europe as well. And in terms of their conservation status, if you want to know, they're of least concern, so they're not under any kind of threat. However, they can be threatening to humans. And this is if they feel like they're under attack or threatened, especially if they're, you know, with their young and their offspring. So nothing too mad about that. And over 1,300 people... in 2020 were either injured or bitten or, you know, adversely medically affected by a raccoon. Over 1,310 people were injured by raccoons. Which is pretty, I think that's pretty high. I mean, the US is a huge place, but still pretty significant, right? And that's going to be those that are reported. So raccoons can be pretty aggressive. A news story that I found from last year was of a raccoon attacking a five-year-old girl in Connecticut. So this little girl, Riley McNamara, was bitten on the leg by a wild animal as she stepped outside of her home on the porch. And so she's trying to shake it off. And her mother grabbed the raccoon by the scruff of the neck, and I imagine just yeeted it across the road. That's what I imagine anyway. So they can be aggressive, but the real danger that from raccoons, especially if you've been bitten like that poor little girl, is from rabies. And so, out of all animals that have rabies, in America, 35% of those will be raccoons.
Oh wow!
So a third of all rabid animals. A third of them are raccoons, so it's pretty common.
Okay, so that's quite a lot. Yeah,
it is quite a lot. And there's also they carry other diseases like leptospirosis and roundworm, which can also be transmitted to humans. Nice. It doesn't sound good, does it? Now, when it comes to rabies, there are other animals that have done more damage, especially in Southeast Asia, but. In 2003, so a little while ago now, 20 years ago, but there was a case of an office worker, 25-year-old office worker, who became sick and spent 14 days in hospital in Virginia before dying as a result of contracting rabies from a raccoon.
Oh, gosh.
So if you're around raccoons, a lot of them will have rabies, and rabies is pretty damn difficult to deal with if you've been infected. It's pretty much all 100% mortality rate, right?
What's scary about rabies is like there's no symptoms until there are symptoms, and when there are symptoms, it's too late to do anything about it. There's nothing that can be done if you're showing symptoms. So yeah, like if you have been bitten by a raccoon or another animal, and like are there like rabies over here, or is it just in certain parts of the world? Like, you don't really hear about rabies in the UK.
No, I think we managed to eradicate it through some public health stuff, because you would get rabies in some wild dogs and things, but back in the day.
Yes, dogs and foxes, right, mainly.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and raccoons in North America. So if you're near a raccoon, two things to be careful of. make sure that it's not, you know, attacking your leg and you're not agitating the poor raccoon. And secondly, if they do bite you, you've got to be a bit careful of the old rabies. But does that put you guys off? If there was a raccoon around, would it put you off going near it? Would you be a little bit more cautious now after
knowing that
they can be aggressive?
No, they wouldn't go anywhere near it now. Yeah,
I'd go and give it a little cuddle. I'd go and ruffle its head.
I'd go and get my shotgun.
You don't have a shotgun, Robin.
I'd go and apply for a license to get a shotgun, and then I would. I'd tell the raccoon, stay there. For the good of the community, stay there. And then I'd go away for 3 to 4 weeks later, and then I'd come back with a shotgun and kill myself. A rather quick death from self-inflicted than a rabid death. That's how much you've terrified me, Martin.
But luckily for you, Robin, two things. The first one is that they're omnivores, so mainly they eat kind of fruit, vegetables, and small insects. So they're not going after human flesh, which is a good thing. And the second one is that they're nocturnal. So go to bed early, don't go outside, and you'll probably be okay from a raccoon.
To quote the TV show Parks and Rec, they have their side of town and we have ours.
Exactly. Yeah. So be afraid, but maybe not very afraid of the humble raccoon.
Oh, they are cute though, aren't they? They're still cute.
They are cute.
Yeah. Well, like little, they're like actually wearing a mask, like a highwayman mask.
They've got this bushy tails. It's like they're wearing black socks too on their feet.
They are quite cute, aren't they? But that's how they get you. That's how they got those 1,300 people.
Yeah. That's quite a high statistic, actually.
Yeah, that is.
I would like it. What I was reading didn't have a breakdown of the injuries, so I would like to know kind of the specific case studies of what happened. I was just tapping it on the head. Getting a good pet, and then it bit me. Like, you know, or was it an unprovoked attack? Like with the little girl. Which seemed unprovoked. So, yeah, a breakdown of stats would be great. Thanks, America. But otherwise, yeah, I'm staying clear. Not much of an issue in the UK, but I'll stay clear if I'm in North America anytime soon.
Fair enough. Try go next.
Yeah.
I'm afraid. Well, I find these animals cute when they're in one of their forms. But this might be a bit of a controversial one. They would make a good Pokemon, I think. Okay. But I want to talk about the pufferfish. I feel like when they're not puffed up, they actually kind of do look quite cute as fish go. They look silly. They're like got smiley little faces.
Oh, there's a big difference between being puffed up and not puffed up, isn't there?
I think they're pretty cute when they're puffed up, though, because they've got like these tiny little faces and this massive body.
Tiny little mouths, and they're just like, I don't know. Maybe I just have a very low threshold for what I find cute.
Wow.
But a little bit of info about them. There are over 120 known species of pufferfish, and they exhibit a wide range of behaviors and adaptations depending on their specific habitats and diets. And they are also, some of them, incredibly toxic. They're known for a unique defense mechanism, which involves inflating their bodies to deter potential predators, make themselves look 2, 3, 4 times bigger than they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
However, their skin, their liver, and certain other organs contain a potent neurotoxin called tetrodotoxin, which can be deadly if ingested.
That doesn't sound fun.
No, it doesn't. And you'll see why this has become a problem in a second. And you may already know if you watch The Simpsons. Because they did feature in an episode about this. But they come in all sorts of sizes and shapes, from just over a few centimeters to over 2 feet in length. And obviously,
before puffed up?
Well, I mean, no, they could change their shape dramatically.
I didn't know they got
expanding and contracting their bodies.
That is massive, isn't it?
Yeah, it's much bigger than I thought. They were tiny things, but yeah, no, huge.
You know, they're growers, so... they can exhibit a wide range of colours and patterns, from drab earth tones to vibrant hues. And some species have striking markings and coloration, making them popular in aquariums. You can get, obviously, non-toxic versions of pufferfish. but like there was that one in Finding Nemo, if you remember. There was pufferfish in his aquarium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another example of a cute pufferfish. There you go. And also, they have teeth. I don't know if you knew this, but they have powerful beaks, apparently.
Huh.
That they use to crush hard-shelled prey, such as crustaceans and mollusks.
Their beaks
grow continuously, their beaks, and require regular wear to prevent overgrowth. So if they don't... Nuzzle them down. They've got to keep eating or else their beaks will keep growing.
They're kind of scary now, actually. Pufferfish? I did not know either of those facts. They can break shelled fish.
Kind of scary.
Yeah.
But obviously, how does this affect humans? Why are they on this list of deadly animals? And it's kind of unfortunate for them because it involves a popular food dish that they are involved in called fugu. And this is a dish associated with pufferfish. And it's a Japanese delicacy that's been prepared and consumed in Japan for centuries. However, we go back to that potent neurotoxin that's found in pufferfish called tetrodotoxin. And there is no known antidote to this toxin, and ingestion of even a small amount can be fatal. Yet despite these risks, fugu is considered a delicacy in Japan due to its unique taste and texture.
Of course it is.
Unique taste
and texture. That doesn't make it sound like it's nice.
Just a unique experience.
Yeah.
Do you think it's good? Almost like almost like a fear factor type thing, just to say you've kind of
maybe.
Had it?
Yeah.
Like thrill seekers going out, try some fugu. But the preparation of it now, anyway, is strictly regulated in Japan. Only licensed, highly trained chefs are allowed to handle and serve it. These chefs undergo rigorous training and must pass a series of exams to obtain a fugu chef license. And I think it takes several years of training to be able to get this as well.
I'm not surprised if it can kill you. Yeah.
Is the final exam that they eat their preferred pufferfish?
Oh, you'd hope so, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Yeah, I really weed out the good ones from the bad ones.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the easiest thing to... the easiest way of passing and failing, I guess.
Just being carried out in the background. Just the chef's hat on the end of the stretcher.
So accidental ingestion of even a tiny part of this toxin can lead to paralysis, respiratory failure, and death. The symptoms of poisoning include numbness, tingling, dizziness, muscle weakness, which then can progress to paralysis, and in severe cases, death within a few hours. And while numbers have fallen drastically in recent years, thanks to this new regulation, just to put it into perspective, during 1974 to 1983, the incidence of pufferfish intoxication was estimated to be approximately 200 cases annually, with almost 50% mortality. So,
why would you eat that? Why'd you risk it?
Yeah, so crazy. Like at certain years, there were roughly 100 deaths, and approximately 50 people die of pufferfish poisoning in Japan. In Japan alone. Every year.
Still.
Oh my gosh.
No, I think that was during this period, but I mean, okay, it has gone down. But it does happen every so often. However, I mean, it's important to say, like, given the population of Japan is massive, this is you're gonna be safe. Like, well, I mean, I don't touch wood. It's
you might
the
be
chances
safe.
Are very slim that anything would go wrong, but would you try it?
No.
It's just not worth it.
Totally,
it's definitely not worth it. No,
yeah.
No, I wouldn't be doing that. No. Would you?
And in terms of pufferfish dangers out in the wild when they're still alive, I haven't actually seen any statistics about if how many they kill. Most of the searches tend to fall back on this dish, this fugu. That's where the real dangers of pufferfish lie, I think.
Yeah.
I don't in the wild. Feel free to go and pet them. I'm sure they're lovely.
I know. Well, those beaks, though, it sounds like they could. If they can crush a shellfish, they can probably crush your fingers. You might get, you might die from an infection or some kind of shock.
Yeah. Don't put your fingers in its mouth.
Yeah.
Some kind of strange. What's it? Final Destination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Killed by pufferfish.
Underwater, it just drags you down to the bottom and you drown. The pufferfish.
Do you guys remember that Simpsons episode where Homer tried fugu?
Yes. Yeah.
Quite a poignant episode, actually. I remember that being quite traumatic.
Yeah, I learned a lot from that episode. Yeah. I felt like it was on a lot too.
There are a few retries weird stuff. Maybe he licks the frogs as well. Have you seen that one? The toads.
I don't remember.
I don't remember that one off the top of my head. But when I was researching this topic, another shout out to the poison dart toad.
Poison dart
frog. I was tempted to mention that one. That was on the list just because it has enough poison in it, enough venom, toxin in it to kill 10 humans. One of these frogs have enough in it to kill 10 humans. But interestingly, there is no reported case of a human dying.
Oh, okay.
Of them killing a human. So,
okay.
There
That's
you go.
The ultimate power play, that is. That's... Hey, guys, I could kill 10 of you, but I'm not going to.
Worship
me.
But I could.
Yeah.
They can flick the switch anytime they want and go on a rampage, but they don't. But I think they get their name from their poison being harvested by tribespeople and used in darts, using their poison in darts for hunting.
This is a question that's going to expose my own ignorance of the scientific method. But if there are no recorded deaths from one of these frogs, how do they... There's enough for 10 people in a frog. Like, what's the? How do you figure out scientifically the amount of poison that would kill a human from this frog without actually, you know, testing?
They might have killed some. They might have tested it on other animals, and then
killed 10 humans. Or 37 dogs. Yes, we tried it on 37 dogs.
Well, the stat for poison dart frogs actually said it has enough poison in each frog to kill 20,000 mice or 10 humans. So there you go. You can work it out from there.
2,000 mice per
human. 2,000 mice per human, basically.
That is a wow.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. Okay, yeah, they just estimate the toxicity of that particular amount.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some very sophisticated
cute as well.
Maths and things. I think are cute. Frogs and toads. Yeah. Don't you think they're cute?
Is it a little frogs? Is it a little jumpy fellas?
I don't know. I'm not sure they're cute, are they? Toads?
Toads, not so toads are a bit more angry, but like little tiny little frogs.
Is a toad. Yeah.
They're a bit icky to hold. They're a bit sticky. But I think they're quite cute.
They look all right.
And you get those ones with the really the clamping jaws, don't you? Are they another South American one? They kind of, if you stick your finger at them, they go, and they won't release.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's a species of frog.
That sounds like it should probably be on the list too.
So I don't know if you answered the question, Alex. Martin asks you if you would eat the pufferfish, would you?
Oh, no, it's definitely not worth it, is it? One, it's like... I'm not that fast. I'm not like
I don't like fish.
I like fish, but I'm not that much of a what's the word?
Connoisseur.
Food
mental nutcase.
Yeah, I don't feel like I need to have tried everything. You know, it's fine. I can already tell. Like I'd probably try and be like, yeah, tastes like a fish. I'm good, thank you. I don't want to die. So, it's just not worth the risk.
Not worth it.
No. I was just going to say, I guess that's an interesting thing to ask the audience, though. What do you think? Would you try fugu?
If it was given to you for free. So you ever get a free little dish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you have the experience? You don't have to pay for it. It's on us.
I guess it depends if, like...
Not the lawsuit. Just the fish.
If it's given to me in, like, a friend's house or something, then definitely 100% not. If it's in like a triple Michelin star restaurant prepared with like a professional chef, then maybe, I don't know, possibly, but no, not really.
I can just imagine them being out in the kitchen and like it being in surgery, like scalpel. Take out the poison. It's like it has to be very precise. I think if you'd done the course, you'd still be a bit nervous, surely. I'm just make sure I've done this right.
That's a good point, though. I do wonder if your certificate gets revoked if you do mess up and poison someone.
No, it's probably like British driving
license. Do you have to retake it?
Once you got it, you've got it for 2 or 120. You know, it doesn't matter how good a driver you are.
I think they do revoke it if you kill someone, though, like a driving license.
true, yeah. Your point.
Probably do. Well, you know what I think is worth the risk? And that is cuddling up to a slow loris. And this is a personal one for me, because I was one of those people who, I feel like there was a craze a few years back. Do you remember this, for slow lorises? They kind of became a bit of a meme.
like a yo-yo, conkers in the playground.
And when I discovered them, I was definitely like, I want one. They're these really cute kind of forearm-sized primates from India, Bangladesh, all the way to the Philippines, Southeast Asia. And they've got cute, lovely, soft fur and gorgeous eyes, because they're nocturnal. So actually they do most of their hunting by smell. So they've got very, very sensitive noses. And they are omnivores. They mostly eat fruit, but they do eat insects. However, they are also the world's only venomous primate.
Oh, no.
Ooh, that's... Yeah, that is unusual. That's crazy. Wasn't it? A venomous primate.
Yeah, it's not something I've thought about.
Tell me more. Tell me more.
Well, with pleasure. The best part is the type of venom. So, and the way they administer it. So they have glands underneath their armpits that ooze a noxious oil. But that oil in itself is okay until they lick those glands, and then the oil mixes with their saliva to create the venom, which then fills their canines, which are grooved. They've got grooves in their canines that then fill with venom. And they can, well, then they bite you or their target. Mm. And apparently their bite is strong enough to pierce bone, so they can get pretty deep.
Oh my goodness.
And then the venom causes something called necrosis, which you may have heard of.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Yeah, which is... a form of cell injury which results in the premature death of cells in living tissue caused by autolysis, which is where the enzymes in the cell start to devour the cell itself and it breaks down, which means that the necrosis induced by slow lorises can melt, in other words, your tissue. And there are lots of instances of people who've had... slow loris bites on their faces, on their hands, and they've had to have limbs amputated to stop the necrosis spreading.
Oh my God.
Stay away from those.
That's actually horrifying.
Yeah. So that's why I picked them, because they've got a pretty nasty way of killing you. However, there is only one recorded death from slow loris bite.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're not that deadly statistically. My contention would be they live in one of the most populated and highly densely populated parts of the world. I'm skeptical that there's only ever been one recorded death. I'm also skeptical because, as we know, it's illegal to own domesticated lorises because they're an endangered species. So there's a huge black market trade in them around the world. So there's a lot of unreported slow lorises around and about, and I wouldn't be surprised if they've killed things. Mm. Maybe not humans, but they've certainly killed things. And there was a study a few years ago, in fact, 2020, because scientists were curious, why are slow lorises venomous? No other primate in the world has decided they needed to be venomous. So they conducted this study in Java, and they watched 82 lorises with radio collars to track their movements, and then captured them every few months over the course of, I think, a total of 7,000 hours of study checking in. And they found that 20% of all the lorises over the course of the period of study had injuries inflicted by other lorises. Around a third of females and 57% of males showed signs of a bite. And younger ones have more bites than older ones. So the current theory is that this venom is some weirdly specific anti-other loris kind of dueling evolution. but the rule of thumb is if you see a slow loris, especially in the wild, and you're getting close to it, and they raise their arms, back off. Because they're going to lick their armpits and get the venom. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
That is a pretty embarrassing way of injecting the venom into you, isn't it? Of all the way, they have to lick their armpits to get some on their teeth.
I'm going to get you more.
But I don't know. I think they're so cute. I would definitely mistake that if I were ignorant for a it's going for a hug.
They put their arms up. It's like, it wants me to pick it up. Yeah. Oh,
it's reaching out for me.
No, it wants to bite my face off.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's my pick.
That is kind of horrifying, yeah.
That is. Yeah. That is. Yeah. No, I won't be going near them anytime soon.
They're also
Where do you say they were from?
They're native to Southeast Asia, so from Bangladesh across northern India to the Philippines and places like Java and Sri Lanka. There are 8 species of them, and they can fetch $2,000 each on the black market or $18,000 on the real market for zoos and things like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Wow. Quite rare. That's not a recommendation, by the way. That's not a just interesting stamp of investment.
Unethical life pro tip. Invest in slow lorises now.
Next week on the podcast, just on my shoulders, one recording across the laptop.
Yeah. And next week I will come back with half a face.
Yeah.
What happened to your
arm? One arm,
Oh, necrosis. That's
nasty.
That's really grim.
It's not worth it. Yeah.
It's also very specific. I find it fascinating that it's when it combines with their saliva that it becomes this horrible venom. That's a definite
tailor-made.
Yeah, deliberate bit of evolution there. I'm like, that's just mean. That's nasty. That was the slow loris. And that's my pick for cute animals that can kill you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that, Robin. It's it's always interesting to hear not only what animals are cute in general, but what animals you guys find cute. What's your favorite animal, would you say? Your favorite cute animal? What do you think?
Cute animal.
The one that's like, oh my god, that's so cute. I wanna just smush his little face.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Good question.
I think
go for it, Rowan.
I was going to say, I'm always partial to a koala,
Koalas are great,
And they can be quite aggressive as well.
They can, apparently, yeah. And they're really disease ridden, so they're not wise to get close to them.
Could have potentially been on the list. Yeah, I think just like a cute cat. Cute little kitten's quite cute. Also, before they became massively popular in the media, a meerkat. Meerkats are pretty cute, their little movements.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, meerkats are really cute.
They just pop up, don't they?
Just stood up and looking around. Yeah.
Nice. And then also, I think just little baby monkeys are pretty cute too.
Oh, yeah.
Probably more than adult monkeys. Adult monkeys can be scary, but little baby monkeys can be cute.
A baby chimpanzee.
Mm. Yeah.
What about you, Alex? What's yours? What's your pick?
I mean, I would have, unprompted, would have said raccoons. Foxes are really cute, like little baby foxes. They're cute.
Okay, yeah. Adult foxes tend to be too scrawny to be cute, in my humble opinion.
Oh, a little big fluffy fox, and it's fine. He's cute.
What about a red panda? I saw some red pandas.
Oh my god, nice. Red pandas.
Oh, yeah. Pretty cute, aren't they?
Very cute.
They're lovely.
Very cute.
Yeah.
And pandas. Oh my god.
Red pandas. I think we need to do a tier list of cute animals.
Very cute. Actually, that'd be good. Yeah, we should. We should for sure.
What's F tier? What's the worst?
Oh man.
The F-tier. Least cute. But it has to be like a rat. Yeah, but that's easy, isn't it? What's a controversial one that you're like?
Controversial.
Other people might put high, but you're like,
I think a lot of dogs actually. A lot of dogs I don't find cute. Yeah.
A hairless dogs. Yeah. What animals aren't cute?
but
they'd be like fine cute.
Yeah, that's a tough one to answer. Actually, I don't know because I have an answer for it. Yeah. Maybe we'll leave that one to the comments and we'll have a think next time.
Yeah, but, yeah.
What? Yeah, that's a good question. I like that question. Yeah,
sorry. I know otters. My wife loves otters, but they can be pretty brutal, can't they? They're like drown their prey and stuff like that. Yeah. But they look cute.
Yeah. They look cute. I also like ducks. Ducks are cute.
They're quite rapey, for want of a better term.
They are a little bit. God damn it, nature. Animal kingdom. Sort yourself out.
Earlier this year I saw a kiwi in captivity.
Sanctuary?
Yes, thank you. That's the word. But they're nocturnal, so you have to go inside this dark building and there's this red light that they can't see, so they think it's nighttime, but obviously it's daylight and you can see them. And they are so cute. You know, I think I'm drawn to them as well because, similar to pandas, they're kind of just evolutionary so behind. They're just so like, we're a bird, but we have no wings. Yeah. We're really plump and kind of slow. And we've got these really long beaks that are really good for dipping into the dirt, but that's it. And then we fight each other and kill each other. So they're actually, and that's what I learned about these things. Mm. Maybe this should be another episode of the podcast. But apparently their biggest threat is, apart from wild cats and dogs and things that have been brought over by Europeans to New Zealand, their biggest threat is other kiwis. They every time they introduce into the wild, they just kill each other. They're really territorial and they fight. And it's just like, oh, come on, guys.
Yeah, you need to help each other out here to work together to survive.
Nope. Yeah. But I think they said even the males and females are territorial. So like, the males and the females should get together to breed, right? But they don't. They're like, this is my land. Yep. It's like, can we hook up? Like, no, go away. So it's like, oh, terrible.
Are they maybe another example of an animal that defied evolution?
That's a good point, actually.
Episode.
Yeah.
Like, it's only us that's willing them to be alive. Like pandas, like, just can't be bothered to make more pandas. We just have to kind of force them.
for sure.
Anyways, thank you guys for sharing those with me. That was a fun discussion.
Thank you, Alex.
Would you like to hear the answer to the riddle?
Yes,
or did
please.
You have any answer in mind?
Can you read it again?
Oh, say it one more time. Just have it. One more. Yeah.
Yeah. My first is in chocolate, but not in ham. My second's in cake and also in jam. My third at tea time is easily found. My hole is a friend who's often around. What am I?
Is it?
Would you like a clue? Oh, sorry.
Is it sugar?
It is not sugar, I'm afraid. Okay. No.
Okay, so the first one is in chocolate, but not in ham. So what can it be? It's going to be the letters, right? So it could be a C.
O. L. T.
Just so I read it again?
Yeah.
Oh, I want you to get up. My first is in chocolate, but not in ham. My second's in cake and also in jam.
That's an A, right?
Yeah.
My third at tea time is easily found. My hole is a friend who's often around.
My third at tea time is easy. What's found at tea time? A spoon.
There's tea.
You've logicked the first two letters.
Oh?
Yeah.
Wait.
C and the second.
You've said it.
Spoon.
No, what? Not spoon. No.
T.
Robin said a letter, and you've got all the letters. So.
Oh. What was the letters?
We said A, didn't we? We said A, and we said T, and we said.
You need to
C. Yeah,
collab on this.
O.
So what was the first one? Wait. Chocolate, but
not in ham. So it's not H, and it's not A, because it's in that. Those are both.
No.
In ham.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's
T. It could be C or T,
yeah, C,
or
T, E. Cot. E. Coat.
Coat. Oh my God, you're so close. I'm going to say this one more time. Okay. My first is in chocolate, but not in ham. Mm-hmm. My second's in cake and also in jam.
A.
My third at tea time is easily found. And then pay attention to this last bit because it might help you. My hole is a friend who's often around.
Oh, friend, my hole. So that's the whole thing. is a friend who's often around.
A friend, like what's another word for friend? Partner, companion.
I don't understand. You've said that all the letters. I'm so confused.
Go on, just say it, Alex. Let's just have it.
Okay. It's a cat. Oh, chocolate.
Yeah.
In cake and jam, A.
Yeah,
third
yeah.
at tea time, easily found, tea.
Tea.
Nice. And right. Paul is a friend okay. who's often around.
Oh.
Oh, I see who's often around.
You've got that, Martin. You've got a cat.
The last one's a bit of a red herring, to be honest. Lastly.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Thank you,
well,
Alex.
Well, there
was,
you go.
What nonsense. No,
that, was
joking.
That was a proper little puzzle, that one. That was quite good.
It's
actually.
Very good. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. I, very it good. Was, yeah, because I felt like you were so, you were about to get it as well, like.
Yeah, so, how many times did we spell that out? C-A-T.
I thought there's more to it, but nice. Very good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
you're welcome. I hope you enjoyed that discussion at home as well. Let us know if there's any other animals that you would like to add to this list. And yeah, let us know what animals that people generally find quite cute, but you just can't stand them. You can't stand them at all. I'm interested in knowing that one as well. Let us know. Is there anything else we'd like to say before we head off, or are we all good?
No, yeah. Just thanks for watching.
I think we're good, yeah.
Well, thanks again so much for watching, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.